Blog Talk Radio.
Coming in with me to receive a time of refreshing. It is going to be a powerful night. I know it. I feel it in my bones. It's going to be awesome. I'm sure you're excited. Wherever you're listening from, I bless you in the name of Jesus. I receive you. I thank God for your lives. And I want you to just begin to call in tonight. I want you to begin to call in. You can listen in live at 760-888-5757. That is 760-888-5757. You can listen in live tonight. I believe God is going to do something supernatural. I believe God's going to do something supernatural. Let's check out the show tonight. It's going to be great. I want you to get your pens, your papers. Amen. And I want you to make it happen because it's going to be wonderful what God's going to do. I want you to take as much as you can tonight. I want you to pull on that anointing and receive what God's about to do. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. God is good. So last week we talked about the prophetic. I want to pray tonight first. I want to go ahead and pray tonight first. If you want to call in right now, it's the perfect time to do so. If you need prayer, if you have a situation that needs to be dealt with in prayer, I want you to call in right now. I want to pray for you live on the air. The telephone number here is 760-888-5757. And you're going to press 1 when you call in. When you press 1, it'll indicate to me that you want to talk, that you're not just another listener on the line, but rather that you want to speak. So that is 760-888-5757 and press 1. I want to pray for you live on the air. I want you to go ahead and tell me what's going on in your life. I want to pray for you. I want to release the word of the Lord over your life. God wants to say something. I want to go ahead and be that vessel that God's going to use to be able to edify you. So I want to go ahead and do that. And, you know, just go ahead and call in right now. Once again, if you're tuning in and you need prayer, you need somebody to pray for you, you can do so at 760. You can call in 760-888-5757. And you're going to press 1 to indicate that you want to speak to me because I want to pray for you live on the air. All right, so anyway, in the meantime, let's go ahead and have a little chit-chat. We're going to talk about, you know, I want to let you know that you can find us on Facebook. If this is your first time listening to us, you can go to Facebook.com. You can put in the name Prophet J.C. Mora. J.C., like the letter J and the letter C, and then Mora, M-O-R-A. So Prophet J.C. Mora on Facebook, or you can find us under the name Pastor Jean C. Mora on Facebook. You can also find us under Springs of Living Water Church. So I want to go ahead and just have you go in there, like our pages, follow us. We put daily revelations, daily scriptures, or at least mostly every day. And, you know, something that's going to help you in your walk with the Lord, help you grow, get you strong, things that you can confess, things that you can say, things that you can do, amen? And very important, get in there and follow us on Facebook. And also, if you want to write to us, you have any prayer requests or have any questions, the place to write to us is not through Facebook. The best place to write to us is through slwchurch@gmail.com. Once again, that is slwchurch@gmail.com. So I want you to go ahead and write to us. I believe it'll be a great blessing. It'll be mighty. It'll be supernatural. Once again, slwchurch@gmail.com. Write to us. And also, if you like to donate into this ministry, if you're looking how to do that, you can do so through paypal.com. And you can put the email ID, slwchurch@gmail.com, and follow the steps. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Praise God. God is in the midst of us tonight. I want to go ahead and pray and welcome the Holy Spirit. I want to welcome the Holy Spirit in our midst. He's here. He's there. He's everywhere. Amen. But I want to go ahead and welcome him. Father, we thank you for everything. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for your presence. Father, we give you glory and honor, and we thank you so much because you do exceedingly and above all that we can think of or ask for, Father, according to the power that worketh in us. Oh, Father, I present to you myself tonight that you may use me mightily, that you do not permit me, Father, to say any words that do not come from your heart and do not come according to your will and according to your purpose for your people, Father. But instead, I pray you give me a word. You put a word in my heart. You put a word even in my mouth, Father God, a word, Father, that will edify your people, that will build your people up, that will make your people strong, I pray, in the name that is above every single name. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and who is to come, the creator of the universe, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, the Prince of life, the Prince of peace, the everlasting God, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. You are the great I am, O Father. We worship your name. We bless you. We glorify you. And we thank you. We thank you, Father God, because you're about to do something supernatural in our lives in this night. Thank you because you're going to do something supernatural through this ministry. Thank you for the word that you are releasing, Father God. Thank you because you're changing things on our behalf. Thank you, Father in heaven, because you're good and you are faithful all the time, Father. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. We bless you, Father. Amen. Amen. God is good. God is good. Once again, I'm going to give you all one last chance before we get into the prophetic teaching. Amen. You can call in if you desire prayer, if you're looking for prayer tonight. and you're looking to have a miracle, to receive that breakthrough in your life, I want to pray for you. The telephone number is 760-888-5757, and you press 1 to speak to me. That is 760-888-5757, and you press 1. I want you to go ahead and do that as soon as you can. I want to pray for you. I want to bless you. I want to declare the word of the Lord over your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. God is good. All right, so I want to move on to better things. I've been waiting for people. I want to move on to better things. I want to talk to you about the word of the Lord. I want to talk to you about how prophecy works. I want to just do a quick recap on last week, what we talked about last week. First of all, last week's show was very powerful. We had a prophecy release. The Holy Spirit spoke twice during the show. If you haven't heard last week's show called Understanding the Prophetic, today is called Understanding the Prophetic Part 2, in parentheses. But last week it was called Understanding the Prophetic. Not Part 1, just Understanding the Prophetic. Check it out in the archives. It's available in the archives. You can check out that show. Check out the whole thing and just check out the end. Check out the whole thing. You know, dedicate, 2 hours of your time to be in the presence of God and to hear the word of the Lord. I believe you're going to be very, very well edified. And God released a great word last week. And, the word has gotten a lot of great reception from the people. People have received it very well. It is a word of confirmation to many. And, you need to hear that word. The Lord spoke, concerning a lot of different things. And, the Lord said that one of the things that God said was that this is a season for turnaround. This is a season for harvest. But the devil has risen up against the body of Christ. And, even though there's, and one of the things that God said was that there's great torrential rains and storms coming upon this nation. I'm not sure if what God meant was a symbolism of disaster and trouble and chaos and, and problems, or I'm not sure if it was that or if he meant literal rains and storms. I'm not sure what he meant, because when I was saying it, when I was prophesying it, I wasn't really receiving whether that it meant literal rains. A lot of times God speaks in symbolism, so we don't really know exactly what he's saying at the moment. We have to go back and really pray about it. So I'm not really sure if he meant that it was going to be literal storms that were coming, but what I do know is that trouble is coming upon this nation. That's one of the things that the Lord spoke to me, or through me, rather. And the Lord showed me a dream probably a week and a half ago. No, a week ago. Wait, a week ago now? It wasn't a week ago. It was probably Monday. I think I had the dream on Monday. And in the dream, there was fire coming from the sky. Again, I think I've had maybe 3 or 4 dreams about fire coming from the sky in the past, maybe 4 years. I've had maybe 4 dreams. So 1 per year, you can say. And these dreams are they're very real, and they're prophetic concerning things that are about to happen upon this nation. I don't know when they're going to happen, but I know that they are, and the Iranian deal is going to go through, and when it goes through, we're going to have a lot of problems. And, the United States is going to turn against Israel, and I think that's going to be what God, I believe that's one of the things that God is going to use to turn the church back to him, the prodigals, the children that are lost back to him and to seek his face, because when you turn your back against Israel, trouble comes upon you. But believe me when I say this, the children of God, the ones that have been faithful, they're going to reap during when there's a recession, when the world is in chaos. The children of God are going to receive transference of wealth. That is going to be the time to buy properties, to build businesses, and to do all sorts of great things. So, just be ready for that, because it's coming, and great blessings are coming upon the body of Christ. A disaster is coming upon the earth, but the children of God are going to triumph and are going to be victorious, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith, the Bible says. Can someone say glory to Jesus? So we're going to move on to the teaching. We're going to talk about the prophetic tonight. We'll do a little recap on last week and some of the things we talked about last week, some of the things that the Holy Spirit taught us last week. Amen. We spoke about how prophecy is divine inspiration that brings forth divine utterance, and it is divided in 3 parts. We spoke on the fact that prophecy is divided in the prophetic utterance is divided in 3 different parts, and that is word of prophecy, which is the future, meaning the prediction of any future event. There's also the word of knowledge, which is the exact supernatural knowledge of a past or current matter or subject. And then there's also number 3, which is the word of wisdom, which is the divine counsel that God releases along with the prophecy. It's an advice or a strategy or instruction from God on a specific matter. So a lot of times you'll see that in the prophecy, you'll get word of knowledge, which is what only God could know concerning your personal life. Then there's also the prophecy, which is the future event that's going to take place in your life. And then word of wisdom, which is how to attain that future event or how to attain that future blessing. Amen. So that's the way prophecy works. It's divided into three parts. So don't ever limit prophecy. If you're going to prophesy, don't limit it to simply, because you'll quench the spirit in you. And don't limit it to simply just speaking forth a future event upon someone's life. When you're prophesying and the Holy Spirit is upon you, the spirit of prophecy, and it's inspiring you, don't quench the spirit by going, okay, just about the future, I'm not going to say anything else. No, what you have to do is you have to learn to release what you have inside of you by the faith that is in you. So you have to know how much faith you have and how much you can release, because everything that is done in fear comes out in the flesh. So you don't want to ever do anything in fear, because it'll be a fleshy word. It'll be a word of your flesh and not a word of the spirit. Can someone say amen? So very important that when you prophesy, you prophesy according to the level of your faith. But know that your prophecy can be divided into three different aspects. That's the future event, which is the prophetic word, what we call prophecy. And then there is the foreknowing, right? And then there is the knowledge, which is the knowing. And then there is the wisdom, right, which is the counsel or the strategy or advice that God gives you a lot of times he gives you as a strategy in order to attain the blessing that he's prophesying over your future. Amen. We spoke last week in Judges chapter 13 in the instance of Samson being born and his birth being prophesied by the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord spoke a word of knowledge, a word of prophecy, and a word of wisdom. And that was perfectly done. We also spoke about the three dimensions by which God speaks in. So the three dimensions of prophecy. Prophecy has three dimensions, and that is dreams, visions, and prophecy, which is the utterance. We have visions, what you see, and you have what you dream, which is what you see at night in your head or, in your sleep. So you have dreams, visions, and prophecy. That is the three dimensions of the prophetic, of prophecy. We talked about Joel chapter 2. We taught it based on Joel chapter 2. And it shall come to pass that afterward I will pour my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. There it is, prophesy, dreams. And then your young men shall see visions. Prophesy, dreams, or prophecy, dreams, and visions. So we talked about the three dimensions of prophecy. We talked about how prophecy can be God speaking to you directly, or God speaking you through somebody. God speaking to you through somebody. It doesn't have to be just through somebody. It can be God speaking to you, because it's a divine inspiration or a divine utterance. It doesn't make a difference who says it. It could be an angel, could be God himself speaking to you, or it can be a person, a third party, somebody prophesying it to you. It is still called prophecy. We also spoke, this is where we left off last week. We talked about how there are three dimensions of the prophetic realm or prophetic ministry for the church. Three specific ways of manifesting prophecy. God manifests the prophetic in three different ways inside his church. Number one is through the spirit of prophecy. Through the spirit of prophecy. Two is through the gift of prophecy. And number three, through the office of the prophet. So these are the three ways or three instruments that God uses to bring prophecy into the church. He does it through the Holy Spirit of prophecy. Then the gift of prophecies, which is the supernatural ability to prophesy in each individual. And then there's the office of the prophet, which is the serious matter. The office of the prophet is like saying, the prophet is really the title of prophecy in a human being. We spoke last week a little bit about the prophet. We're going to speak again today. Last week we explained, we got real into detail concerning the spirit of prophecy and how the spirit of prophecy manifests or comes into a place as a result of the worship of the saints that moves God's heart in order to reveal things. The whole purpose of the spirit of prophecy is to testify of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, the Bible says. In other words, if you want Jesus to speak and reveal things in a church, the spirit of prophecy has to be there. But if you want the spirit of prophecy to be there, you have to make sure that worship is there and that the saints are worshiping in spirit and in truth. God is seeking people to worship in spirit and truth. That's what the Bible says. And we spoke about the great demonstration of how the spirit of prophecy works mightily upon someone who didn't necessarily even provoke it. People walk in to an atmosphere of the prophetic and they can prophesy without ever even doing anything to cause it. Though there has to be someone causing the spirit of prophecy to come through worship, there has to be people doing it. But someone can come from the outside and be overtaken by that power. We spoke about the spirit of prophecy brings forth an atmosphere that is so strong that many can prophesy, including people who are not even prophets, nor do they have the gift of prophecy. Can someone say amen? This happens when there are true worshipers invoking God's glory, when there's a worship momentum. Can you say worship momentum? We want to build momentum constantly, in our, whether it be in our prayer life, whether it be in our worship life. Amen. We spoke about only a prophet can understand heavenly worship. The prophet from the beginning has been God's first ministerial voice on the earth. I'll say that one more time. The prophet was God's first ministerial voice on the earth. Not the shepherd, not the teacher, but the prophet. So the prophet had an ability to hear from God concerning spiritual things and give it to someone, or give it to the people. So prophets are very, there is an old ministry. It's the oldest ministry on the earth. The oldest of the fivefold ministry is the oldest one. So it's very important that we understand how prophets work, how their DNA functions, how they are as people, because they all have the same DNA, and therefore they're all provoked in their inner man. They're all provoked to act exactly the same. They have the same characteristical patterns, their personality patterns, because they all have the same DNA. They're forced to act a certain way, and not necessarily personality wise, but in their actions, in the way they think. The way they, what we call prophetic DNA, the way they think, the way they see things. They see things different than people do. They hear things different than people do as a result, because they see different and they hear different. They also speak differently. Prophets are radical people. They're not, you know, prophets are not, you know, prophets are very radical people. They're not, what's the word? The prophets are not, you know, back and forth, you know, with the word of God. They're very radical. If they learn something, that's what convicts them, and whatever convicts them, that's what they follow. And it's very important that you understand prophets, because otherwise you'll hurt prophets. And one of the reasons why the church is in trouble today is because we've hurt the prophets. The word of God, we spoke last week, that the word of God in the book of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says that without vision, without chazon, which means prophecy or revelation or vision, without prophecy, the people cast off restraint. We also spoke about 2 Chronicles 20:20. It says, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be saved, or you shall be established. Believe in the prophets, and it says, and you shall prosper. You shall be prosperous. So prosperity comes to the prophetic voice. So therefore, if we want prosperity, we need to start receiving prophets. Jesus says, he who receives the prophet in the name of a prophet, the blessing or the reward of a prophet shall he receive. So it's important that we learn to receive the prophets. We learn about them so that we don't misunderstand them and push them away. Sometimes, because prophets are very radical people, we tend to push them away, and we don't receive them because we're afraid of what they have to tell us. So because of lack of understanding of prophets, the church is in trouble, because the church is not seeing Satan's agendas, because they're not allowed. The church is not allowing the prophets to come in and freely speak concerning what they're seeing that Satan is trying to do. Like Satan is trying to take the altars and put certain types of music in the altar that was born of the flesh and not born of the spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 3, whatever is born of the flesh is of the flesh, but whatever of the spirit is of the spirit. So you cannot have flesh mixed in with the spirit, because it's a hybrid. And whatever is a hybrid cannot produce. Whatever is a hybrid cannot give birth. Are we talking the same language here? When you have a hybrid, it doesn't go any further. It dies there. And the Bible calls us to multiply. It calls us to have spiritual children, which is where you cannot have one foot in the flesh, one foot in the spirit, and pretend to all of a sudden have a humongous ministry, or pretend to all of a sudden be a productive person and be like the next Benny Hinn or have the best business. Well, you can't multiply if you're in the flesh and if you're in the spirit at the same time. Can someone say amen? Catching on what we're talking about here. Glory to Jesus. All right. So we talked last week about how Saul, the King Saul, you know, he... We're back. All right. We're back now. Forgive that. I don't know what happened. The thing just literally took me off. We rebuke every evil spirit. We bind every spirit right now of interruption in the name of Jesus. Every agenda of the devil sent to interrupt the show is destroyed in Jesus' name. We declare by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. All right. So we're back. We spoke on the fact that, you know, there was a Saul walked in to the presence of prophets. They were worshiping. We spoke about how that's considered the atmosphere, the prophetic, meaning the spirit of prophecy was there, and it overtook him and it caused him to prophesy. Even when he was evil, in chapter 19 of 1 Samuel, We spoke about once he was evil, he was, you know, he was very rebellious. He was, he didn't even have the spirit of God in him. He still prophesied anyway. So the God wants to show you that you know, that just because somebody prophesies doesn't mean they're going to heaven. Can someone say glory to Jesus? So it's very important that you understand that the spirit of prophecy can do radical things in any congregation where he is welcome, amen? We spoke about the gift of prophecy, how it's given to believers by grace. We spoke about the purpose of that gift in the church is to edify, to exhort, and to give comfort to the brethren. When a member in the body of Christ is struggling, someone with a prophetic word is there to give them hope again and encourage them, lift them up, amen? We must be guided by the Holy Spirit in order to understand how this gift can change things for us in the church. Also understanding that the gift of prophecy can actually grow in you. It can increase. You can become better at it. As a matter of fact, any manifestation of the Spirit in your life that we consider a gift of the Holy Spirit, any of them can actually increase in us. It doesn't have to stay at one level. So it's very important you understand that. Can someone say glory? Hallelujah. All right, we spoke last week. We reviewed a little bit on 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the gift of prophecy. We spoke on how to make the gift work for us in the church, how to be in order concerning the gift and all that stuff. And someone say amen. So we spoke about that, and it was fun. It was, you know, we learned a lot of stuff. Now today we're discussing today the office of the prophet. Why, Pastor, why should I know about prophets? Well, first of all, because number one is the oldest voice. It's the ancient voice of God. It's the oldest ministry on the earth. So we want to make sure that we understand how prophets are and some of the similar things they all did in the Bible that we can bring into an easy way to understand in this generation so that we're able to actually comprehend what God's purpose is through the prophets. The prophets are not regular people. They're, as a matter of fact, a lot of times they're lonely people. You know, the ministry of the prophet is a very lonely one. It is one with not many friends. So it is not easy to get along with prophets. It is not easy for prophets to get along with people because prophets have an ability to see what other people don't. A lot of times what they see is not good. And as a result, they like to alienate themselves from people because of the fact that they see things in people that they believe are going to contaminate them or rather influence them in a negative way. So they'd rather be away from them and minister to them from afar. The prophet, for some reason, most of the times finds himself or they find themselves ministering to most people they come in contact with. A prophet has a very hard time simply being a person and just having a conversation. They usually, for the most part, will turn things prophetic very quickly. We'll look at something, we'll look at a tree and make it a prophetic thing. The prophet will make a prophecy out of anything. They'll make everything prophetic, everything something spiritual with a spiritual meaning. So once again, prophets are unusual people, they're different. They're not common. They're not your common folk. And they're very special to God. The Bible says that God has not consented. I think Psalm chapter 105, verse 5. And I think it also says it in, I'm not sure if it's 1 Chronicles 13 or something. It says God did not consent for anyone to touch his prophets. Touch not my anointed. Hurt not my prophets, the Bible says. So it's the one ministry the Bible says that God does not like for them to touch them. Don't touch my anointed. Do not touch my prophets. Do not harm them. Do my prophets no harm, the Bible says. So, you know, it's very important that you understand God is very zealous for the prophets. He loves them. And God processes the prophets in ways that doesn't process anybody else. He makes them go through a lot of very difficult situations and allows a lot of bad things to happen to them, or negative things, rather. I wouldn't say bad, because nothing's bad when it's from God. But you know, he allows a lot of negative things to happen to the prophet because he wants to turn it for good. All things work for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So, you know, the prophet is a person that's processed, but because he's processed, when he allows the processing time and the process of God to happen, to fully happen, by the time he comes out, his word is pure. And he's able to hear better from God. He's able to minister better or what God wants us to minister to the people. It comes out from a pure heart, not from a place of hurts. One of the worst things that you want to do is listen to a preacher who's hurt. One thing is you being hurt. Another thing is you remaining hurt. And, you know, you can get hurt and go forgive, forget, and pray and ask God to heal you. But if you don't do that, you stay hurt. And that's a problem. Because if you stay hurt and you go to speak from a place of hurt, that's a very big problem because now what's coming out of you it's also spilling up on the people. As a result, you can contaminate people and damage people's lives. So just be careful with having hurt in your heart, with having resentment, with having anger, with having unforgiveness, frustration, unfiltered emotions, because all those things, they all lead to one place, and that is to separating you from God, from having a very good relationship with God and being in good standing with God. One of the things that gives us good standing with God is forgiving. You need to learn to let go, forget, let go of people. When you don't forgive, you have that person's memory and what they did to you locked up in your heart. So you're giving place for that to stay inside of you instead of giving place for Jesus to come and live. So therefore, you're not free. You're captive to that person. You're bound to that person. You're responsible for that person. So you don't want to do that. You want to make sure you let them go. Give them to God. They're God's. God, Jesus died for them just like he died for you. So learn to forgive and forget. Sometimes you have people around you who are constantly hurting you. Maybe sometimes you got to separate from them, get away from them, until you mature and you get strong and you can deal with them again. Amen? Glory to God. That's powerful stuff. All right, so we talked about the office of the prophet. We spoke about the three dimensions, the spirit of prophecy. We spoke about the three different, dimensions of the prophetic ministry within the church. How the spirit of prophecy is number one. We spoke about the gift of prophecy, which is the ability, the supernatural ability to prophesy that God gives to anyone who really asks for it and comes by grace. Amen? And we spoke about number three, the office of the prophet. We're going to just go back and just do a recap of the office of the prophet, and I will be guided by the Spirit to speak to you as God leads me. Amen? And I believe it's going to be powerful. Amen? Glory to God. And once again, call in 760-888-5757. Call in 760-888-5757. Do not miss the show tonight. It's powerful stuff what God is doing. Let's move on. Where are we? Go ahead and pull up my notes. All right, so the office of the prophet. We talked about last week. We said the office of the prophet is usually a generational pass down, a hand-me-down. It's a generational blessing. It's usually a generational ministry, a generational call of God. It's very rare that a prophet gets called by himself. But it does happen. He could be the catalyst of his generation or of his future, generation. And he can be the first of his family tree. And then from there, his children are now prophets. But for the most part, a prophet comes from somebody else that's prophetic in their family. Unless, like I said, they're the catalyst of that generation of that time. We also call them the five gifts of Jesus. We call them ascension gifts. In the theological studies, we call it ascension gift. We talked about the gift of God, which is ministerial gifts, in Romans chapter 12. We talked about the gifts of the Spirit, which is manifestations within the church. And we talked about the gifts of Jesus, which is ascension gifts. Those are the ministries, the callings of God, to minister to the body of Christ and equip them and make them stronger in Jesus. We call them ascension gifts. And we talked about how a prophet is more than just a gift. It is a position of authority in God's kingdom. A prophet's a person. I need you to understand, a prophet's not just a gift. A lot of people use the prophets for the gift, but they're not realizing that a prophet's also a human being. They're a person. So just be careful when not idolizing someone's gift and worshiping someone's gift. Be very careful because God is a jealous God. His name is Jealous. So you want to make sure you don't do that. We talked about prophets, for the most part, are warriors. They tend to be, because they're warriors, they tend to have a very strong personality. A lot of times prophets, before they're ever molded by God, they tend to be very stubborn, very hard-headed, and they kind of have like that, we call the headstrong biblically, right? They're headstrong, they're hard-headed, they have that kind of personality where they think they got it all figured out, they could do it all on their own, they don't need help. They're warriors, they defend for themselves, but they don't really know that a warrior is supposed to have other brethren fighting with them. So they need to learn, they need to be molded. That's why prophets get processed, because the DNA, the prophet has a DNA that he cannot escape from, and it forces him to be defensive, to defend, to protect, to cover, to stand in the gap for others, to fight for people. So they're very aggressive people for the most part, even in their personality, which is why their personality has to be shaped, and they have to have the character of Christ instilled in them. And that's the part that takes a while. A prophet can take 5 years, 15 years, 20 years to be molded into Jesus' character. You know what I'm saying? So that's the part that's difficult. But the prophet, for the most part, is a warrior. It's a person who's willing to fight. It's a person who's willing to stand in the gap. They're usually prayer warriors, they're intercessors. They have that in them, that not only the ability to do so, but also the desire to do so. They understand the purpose of prayer. A prophet is also a watchman. The word watchman means someone who sees danger before it comes. A prophet is able to has a discernment. But we always associate prophets with these people that tell you that the world is going to end by tomorrow, or that they're going to give you catastrophic events, or thus says the Lord, a hurricane is going to come and destroy New Orleans, you know, like Katrina, for example, or a hurricane is going to come, or an earthquake is going to come to California. We always associate a prophet with that, and that's not at all what a prophet is. That's just one of the many things that a prophet does. A prophet also sees danger in individual people's lives. A prophet is able to give you a word of wisdom from God concerning a specific thing you're doing that may lead you to be destroyed. A prophet sees the stuff you can't see. A prophet's way more than just a faraway prophecy that's going to happen 25 years from now concerning an earthquake. A prophet's way more than that. He sees a lot closer than that. You think he only sees far, but he sees very close. He sees the person next to them. He sees his own family. He sees himself. He sees when he's messing up, or she sees. I'm sorry. Putting the prophet in a box that it has to be a man. It could be a woman also. But, you know, prophets, they're able to see even their own lives, the things that people can't see in them. Even the insecurities, a prophet's able to see in himself. So a prophet's a seer. The Bible calls them seers. In Spanish, the word vidente. Another thing the prophet's called in the Bible is, like I said before, a watchman. A watchman was a person who would stand in a tower or in the stronghold of the city, the walls of the city, and will watch from afar and will defend the city, protect it, and announce to the people that there was armies coming to try to take the city. And therefore, they prepare the people before the danger comes. In the Bible, in the New Testament, we see under the New Covenant a prophet named Agabus. And Agabus saw that there will be a great famine that will come upon the earth. And the Bible says that it was a great famine that came upon the earth, and it happened, but the people were able to prepare because of the prophet's word. So that means at that moment, he was acting as a watchman. He was able to see the hunger, the famine was going to come, the lack was coming, and that God's plan for the people was to prepare and to help out the brethren in Judea. So they did. This is powerful stuff, man. A prophet has the supernatural ability to see what others cannot see in people, in places, or even organizations. A prophet can walk sometimes into a restaurant and tell you why the restaurant is failing. And you would think, oh, it's common sense. Well, it's not common sense to everybody, but to a prophet it is. We're here. The prophet is a person with a specific type of character that God builds them in. A prophet has a DNA that he cannot escape from, forcing him to, forcing him to defend, protect, cover, stand in the gap for others, among many other things. A prophet is a very spiritual person. They discern everything spiritually. They're very radical. They push people away sometimes because of how radical they are. People don't want to hang out with them. Which is why, like I said before, the prophet has to be molded by God so that he learns to be radical for himself. And in that radical, being radical for himself, he allows other people to observe him or her in how radical they are in order for them to follow them and want to be like them. The last thing you want is to force people to be like you. Rather, you should be an example that people may want to be like you. Does that make sense? And that's the kind of situation that God puts a prophet through. He makes a prophet, he molds the prophet, he processes the prophet in a way that it gets to the point where people want to be like the prophet as opposed to the prophet trying to make everybody be like him or like her. Are we catching on what we're talking about here? I know this is kind of weird to understand, but if you understand the prophet, when prophecy comes to you, when you understand why the church is in the danger that it's in the trouble that it's in, and because of this, we need to open the doors to prophets. We need to bless the prophet. We need to honor them. Amen? So prophets understand, pay attention, prophets understand worship, and they love worship. The prophet gets upset when people don't worship God. They don't get it. They don't understand how somebody can stand there in church with their hands crossed or with their hands in their pockets, and God's presence is there, God's glory is there, and they don't understand how it is that a person could just literally just sit there and not raise up their hands to heaven and glorify God. The Bible says that it is the will of God for us to lift up holy hands and pray everywhere without doubting or without wrath. It is spoken in the word that God wants us to lift up holy hands. So lifting up your hands to God, to heaven, is a sign of surrender. It is a sign of honor toward God. When you don't do that, there's a problem in your heart against God. There's a problem in your relationship with God over here. So the prophet doesn't get it. The prophet is like, what's going on? Why aren't people going on the ground and kneeling on the floor and crying out to God? Why aren't people repenting what is happening? So the prophet has a hard time with that. Because that, like I said, it's a DNA he can't escape from. It's the internal chip that God puts in him that he can't escape from. That's his identity. That's who he is. And that's not who he is as a person, but that's who he is in the spirit. That's who God made him out to be, in the spirit. He put it in him. Or God put it in him, and as a result, or in her, and as a result, he cannot escape from it. A prophet hates injustice. A prophet doesn't like when people are being taken advantage of. He doesn't like it. A prophet doesn't like injustice spirit, whether it's against him or her or against anybody else, for that matter. We talked about how prophets bring new revelation in every aspect of the church according to the timing of God. We need to understand that there's a specific ministry that is called to bring in the new revelation of worship, the new revelation of the word, the moves of God, the manifestations of new anointing, new prayer and warfare strategies. We need certain key people that understand the timing of God to change the strategy. Sometimes the prayer strategy is not working. So God says, okay, I'm going to show you a new prayer strategy. Who does he do that to? He shows it to the prophets. This is what we need, prophetic people, prophets, or people who are attached to prophets, I'm meaning prophetic people, in the church doing the prayers, leading the intercession teams and the spiritual warfare teams. You have to have prophetic people. Prophets, can someone say glory to Jesus? Another thing is that prophets hate, they hate mess and they hate disorder. If you're a type of person that this entire list of everything I've spoken, if this is you, then you're probably a prophet in hiding. You don't know you're a prophet. Today you're discovering it, and now you need to seek after God's anointing so that you can be confirmed and affirmed, and as a result begin your training process to be able to take up the office of the prophet someday. And so once again, if I'm describing you, who you are on the inside, and you've been trying to fight against these things that I've been speaking of, you've been trying to change because everybody tells you you're too radical or you're this or that, then most likely you've been called to be a prophet. Prophets hate mess and they hate disorder. Prophets hate confusion in people. They hate to see people confused. They don't like it. They don't understand why people are confused about certain things. Does that make sense? And they try to change everybody. Prophets always want to just change the world. They want to make the world a better place, which is, once again, why God has to deal with them so severely, so severe. God has to process them. God has to mold them because he put so much in them. He deposited so much into them that he now has to mold them, because if he doesn't mold them, they're going to hurt everybody. Does that make sense what I'm saying? The last thing that you want in your church is an immature prophet, one with a bunch of anointing, but zero spiritual character, zero maturity, zero character of Christ, zero fruit of the Spirit. That is the last thing you want in your church, because you'll have a person who will say a bunch of good stuff, a bunch of negative stuff, will insult, will try to edify, and it will just be messy all over the place. You have a person who will just stomp on people. You don't want that, because once again, the prophet, the DNA of the prophet, the chip that God has put in him is so much that if he's not careful, if he's not molded in his character, if he's not molded, if his personality doesn't submit to God's mind, if he doesn't have the mind of Christ, if he doesn't have the fruit of the Spirit, he's going to end up doing more harm than good. So if you're a prophet, you have to be dealt with by God. At some point or another, it's going to catch up to you. You can keep running away from God's process, but it's going to get you. And when it gets you, you're going to be there for years. So it's better for you to give in now before God has to deal with you for 25 years, just in the process time. Imagine you come into the kingdom and you think you've made it. Then you don't realize that now you got to be processed in the kingdom. One thing is you're being processed outside of the kingdom. When you're processed outside of the kingdom, you're being beat up by the world. You're beat up by the devil, beat up by sin, beat up by women, beat up in your finances. You come to Jesus, you're born again. However, now all the mess that you did caused your personality to change for the negative, for not for the good. It caused your character to not be the character of Christ or far away from Christ. Now you have to be molded even further. So the longer you take to come into Jesus, to get radical for God, to become dedicated and committed unto the Lord, the longer you take, the longer you delay even your ministry. Because when you come into Jesus, when you first come into the kingdom, now you enter the process of transformation, the process of character building that God puts you through, the school of God, the school of character. And that takes a long time. Sometimes it takes a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, 25 years. You don't know how long it's going to take. So it depends on you. It depends on how obedient you are. And it depends, obviously, on the timing of God and how faithful you are to the process, really, and to every single thing that God puts you through and God allows you to go through. Can someone say glory to Jesus? Hallelujah. We talked about the prophet doesn't necessarily do any of these things on purpose, so don't blame it on them. So a lot of people tell prophets, well, you got to change. Well, not really. They don't have to change. They just have to be molded and mature. But they don't necessarily have to change. Does that make sense? Who they are. Because who they are is internal. It isn't their DNA or spiritual nature to do so, because it is the spirit that God put in them. We talked about how the prophet hates the devil, and he hates to see people captive by Satan. Prophets hate people to be captive by the devil. They hate to see it. They find it unfair. They just can't stand, you know, when a kid is demon possessed. You know, a kid who's not even at fault, but the parents are, you know, or the grandparents or somebody in the house was watching pornography. They opened the portal from hell into the home. A demon got into the kid. The kid is now acting rebellious, but the kid never did anything wrong. You know, it's just the kid now has a demon in them. You know, prophets hate that kind of stuff because they realize that the devil is out to kill and to destroy and to steal. The prophets realize that. They understand it because they want to change that. So now because the prophet hates the devil and hates to see people captive by the devil, therefore then the prophet also loves the deliverance ministry. But now the prophet has to be trained in the deliverance ministry. You know, before I started casting out devils, I began to be taught by an apostle who's also, I began to be taught how to cast out devils and how the different demons work. A lot of the stuff the Holy Spirit taught me, a lot of the stuff came by revelation, but when the time came to cast out devils, I had to cast out devils out of people, and it was actually a lot harder than I thought. I would get beat up. Sometimes I would get beat up for an entire week. My whole body was aching. I would get the smell at night. It would come to me in my bed. It wouldn't let me sleep. The demons wouldn't let me sleep. So, you know, I had to get used to it and be trained, and, you know, I had to basically discipline my body because it was very difficult at first, the deliverance ministry. And it's not easy at all. It still isn't easy, but someone's got to do it. It's like the dirty job in the kingdom, but someone's got to do it. Amen? So the prophet hates to see people captive by the devil. So therefore, most prophets love the deliverance ministry. And as a result, all prophets should be in the deliverance ministry. They should cast out devils. They should break generations of curses. They should understand the power of the blood of Jesus. They should understand what the blood of Jesus has done. They should understand how the Holy Spirit today effectively activates what the blood of Jesus did. You notice that the Holy Spirit came after the blood was spilled. Are we catching on? I'll say that one more time. The Holy Spirit came after the blood was spilled. Why did he come? To activate what the blood did. Can someone say glory to Jesus? By the stripes we've been healed, but it is through the power of the resurrection of Jesus that now whatever the stripes did can be activated. Are we catching on what we're talking about? That's what the Apostle Paul says. The same power that worked in Jesus now works in you. And the Apostle Paul at one point said that the same spirit that gave life to Jesus' body will also give you life. So in other words, what I'm saying to you is, this is the same Holy Spirit working, doing all the things that Jesus accomplished on the cross of Calvary. He comes to activate it. He comes to bring relevance to it. The Holy Spirit is so powerful, so awesome, that he can go back in the past and bring to the present what was done in the past. It was done before the foundation of the world, and the Holy Spirit can activate it today. That's how powerful he is. Can you say glory to God? Hallelujah. So the prophets have also keen discernment of evil spirits. And also of people with evil intentions. A prophet can discern when someone is off. You ever met people who are just off? I know you've met people like that before. You talk to people, you know, and they're just off. They're like, oh, wait a minute, something's wrong with this person. And we see people like that in the church even more than we see outside of the church. You would think that you would see people like that more in the church than outside the church. I'm sorry, more outside the church than in the church. But you see them more in the church. The reason why is because in the church it becomes more real. When you're a spiritual person, you're able to see spiritual things. When you're in the world, and everybody's the same in the world, everybody's a sinner, everybody's a drinker, everybody loves pornography, everybody loves homosexuality, everybody's in agreement with the things of the world. And the people in the world, they don't make a difference in the way they speak and the way they think. But when you come into the kingdom, all of a sudden you're coming into the light. When people go to church and they come into the anointing, all of a sudden the light is shining on them, and you're able to see now a lot of times their evil intentions, but a prophet can see even further. A prophet can see even sometimes God wake up a prophet in the night hour with a vision concerning someone. A prophet will be able to see what someone is up to in the night hour, what someone's up to in darkness. Are we catching on? That's what true prophets. I'm not talking about those fakers out there or the people with the gift who have an ability to prophesy and now they call themselves prophets. No, no, no. We're talking about the people that they have the prophetic DNA, the DNA of a prophet inside of their spirit man. These people are called before the foundation of the world to do one specific assignment on the earth, and that is to be prophets. Not just to prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, but to be prophetic and to have all these things, these attributes that I'm describing to you in this teaching. A prophet is way more than just thus says the Lord. A prophet has attributes in his character. A prophet is a specific person with a specific character that God uses on the earth to change things for the better. A prophet brings revelation to the church. We talked about that. Of all sorts. Of the times of God, it's time to change this, it's time to change that, it's time to change the worship. You know, sometimes worship gets old. I need you to understand that you can't worship with the same songs forever. I think the church is starting to come to that realization, but you know, more than before, we used to worship with the same songs for 5 years in a row. The prophet gets tired of that. The prophet says, no, let's create new worship. Every service, they'll do new worship. They'll do a new worship song. Prophets love music. They love, they understand how God, you know, through music ministers to the people. Can someone say amen? And how we minister to God with music. Hallelujah. So prophets have keen discernments of evil spirits, some more than others. Obviously, every discernment has to be developed. Every gift has to be developed. Every ability of God has to be developed through faith and through authority, through constant using of it, discerning both good and evil, rightly dividing the word of truth, studying the scriptures, putting it to use. Constantly, sometimes you mess up. Sometimes you do it right, and then, you know, you just learn, and it takes time. You know, time is your friend when it comes to the training process. It's not your enemy. It's your friend. A lot of times we think time is our enemy because we're bored or because we're tired of waiting. Or you don't realize that time is actually your friend. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. So the prophets, another thing about prophets that you have to know about them is that they hate hypocrisy. They just hate it. They can't stand when people have 2, 3, 4, 5 faces. You know, there's people you talk to that with every person they talk to, in every circle they're in, every single person they act different with. They act different with their boss. They act different with their mom. They act different with their dad. They act different with their wife. They act different with their husband. They act different with their cousin. They act different with their... And you're like, man, don't you get tired of being so many people? Man, you should have studied acting. Like, you feel like telling them, man, you should have been an actor. Because there's so many different characters. Like, whoa, what is this? What's happening here? So many different personalities. You know, that's not right. We as Christians have to be one in Christ and have wisdom. And the wisdom of God will help you adapt to any person you talk to. Can you say wisdom? That's what the Bible says. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting of wisdom, get some understanding while you're at it. Are we catching on? So that's why you have to have wisdom to learn to deal with people. But you can be the same person with everybody. You can be transparent. It is okay to be transparent. As a matter of fact, you're supposed to be transparent. Did you know that a spirit is invisible? A spirit is transparent. You're supposed to be walking in the spirit. So you should be transparent. People should be able to see right through you that there's no evil intention with you, that you're not going to change tomorrow, that you're not just a time bomb waiting to explode at any moment, that you're that person that takes in, and then one day you show up to work with a shotgun and you kill everybody. Don't be that person. You know, go to God and forgive and forget and let it go, right? People are going to hurt you in life. Human beings are used by Satan all the time. The Bible says that King David was used by the devil to bring a census to the land so he can boast in the great numbers that he had of people. The Bible says that the devil influence David. Are we catching on what we're talking about today? Oh, my God. So the men in the Bible were influenced by Satan all the time. We see that constantly. What you need to understand now is that you let you not be influenced by the devil. Apostle Paul says, nor give way to the devil. Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, whatever verse, I'm not really sure. But I think verse 27. But he says, nor give way to Satan. So don't give way to Satan. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. So, prophets hate hypocrisy. They can see when people are two-faced, and they can't stand it. A prophet cannot stand for that. They just don't comprehend why people are not honest. They just don't get it. Listen, I want you to understand that what I'm saying to you is not about me. This is not about my personality. This is in the Bible. All these things that I'm talking about are manifestations of what men of God did in the Bible. If I read every scripture to you, we'd be here for 5 hours, which is why I'm not reading scriptures. But you'll find prophets all through the Bible doing exactly all the things that I'm describing here. Can someone say amen? Glory to God. So prophets hate hypocrisy. Jesus called out on the hypocrisy of people all the time. Prophets have a hard time finding friends because most of his friends are hidden in caves. We see the perfect example in Elijah. Elijah had no friends. He had no friends. And as a result, Elijah thought he was all alone. And God told him, no, I have 7,000 just like you that have not bowed down to Baal. He thought it was by himself, but he wasn't. And where were his friends? In caves. The Bible says that Obadiah, the servant of Ahab, was hiding the prophets and feeding them water and bread. Are we catching on? They were in caves. So Elijah was supposed to have some friends, but he didn't. He had a relationship with God. Instead, a lot of times God will have a relationship with you. Pay attention. And as a prophet, God will build you up through being alone. And then eventually he'll start releasing some friends to you because he knows you're mature enough and radical enough and mature enough and temperate enough to learn to deal with people, still be radical for him, still be zealous for God, and still be truthful, still be honest, still not be a hypocrite, don't be two-faced. And at the same time, he knows you're not going to leave. So now he's ready to release some people to you. And he's going to release some people that have kindred spirits with you. Can someone say amen? All right. So prophets hate hypocrisy. They see when people are two-faced and they can't stand it. A prophet has a hard time finding friends because most of his friends are hiding in caves, which is the equivalent of prophets in preparation. Prophets who are in caves are prophets in preparation, meaning nobody knows them yet. But right now, I guarantee there are thousands of prophets, if not hundreds of thousands, all over the world that you don't know who they are today. But about 5 to 10 years from now, you're going to know them. Their ministries are going to blow up. And believe me, you're going to know who they are. You're going to be like, whoa, where did these people come from? Well, they came from caves. Someone say glory. The prophets are heavily rejected because they always tell the truth and never compromise the principles of God's kingdom and word. A prophet never compromises God's word. They never say, well, you know, you can do that, I guess, for this time around. Just be careful next time. A prophet doesn't do that. And as a result, the prophet, he gets rejected by people constantly because they're like, well, I can't hang out with this person because this person, every time they're with me, they're judging me. You know, it's not that the prophet is judging you. It's that the prophet is judging righteously according to the situation because that's not what God's word says. And they're willing to obey God's words rather than obey man. The Bible says we must obey God rather than man. That's what Peter said, amen? Peter was a prophet. How do we know he was a prophet? Well, Pastor, he was an apostle. Well, he was a prophet too because an apostle is in all five ministries. Are we catching on? He was also a prophet because a prophet hears from God, and Peter heard from God directly. So he was also a prophet. Amen? So the prophet, we talked about the prophet, is processed by God harder than any other ministry because everything that God downloads into a prophet's DNA, he has to deal with them in such a way that he doesn't deal with other people. This way he can have a great man of God with great revelations producing the great fruit of the Spirit. Producing the fruit of the Spirit, not just a bunch of revelations. You can have a bunch of revelations and act like a jerk to the church, and God don't like that because you mess with God's church, you're messing with his wife. And no man likes for you to touch his wife. Can someone say glory? The prophet is the most, pay attention now, you're going to catch this one. Hopefully you catch it. The prophet and the apostle, but we're talking about the prophets today. The prophet is the most misunderstood ministry today. It's misunderstood. People, listen. If it wasn't for the fact that I'm explaining this to you tonight, you most likely wouldn't even understand what the ministry of the prophet is. People think a prophet is this guy who, like, dresses with, like, really bad clothes and, like, stands in the night hour and says, "Thus is God. Thus is the Lord. A time will come." I mean, that's not what a prophet is. A prophet is just a human being with a very special DNA, with a very special spiritual DNA. And he has to learn to be molded by God. He has to learn to be processed by God. A prophet is a person who God uses to change things for the better. And people don't like change. Everybody loves the idea of change. Everyone. If you're fat, you love the idea of being skinny. But very few people love the process of being skinny. In the process, you're going to have to let go of some sugars. Eat less. Do cardiovascular for half an hour to 45 minutes a day. Do weights. Run. Sleep better. I mean, everybody loves the idea. Oh, I want to be skinny. But wait a minute. Just fine. You want to be skinny. You want to be in shape. I get it. My question is, do you love the process? Does that make sense? Everybody loves the idea of change, but very few people love the process of change. So many of you want to have 3 businesses, but you can't even step out of the job you're at right now. You want to have a business. You want to be rich. You want to be successful. But you don't even have the faith to step out of the job you're in right now. So in other words, you love the idea of having a business, but you don't love the process of leaving it all and starting from scratch and trusting on God and depending on the Lord. So in the processing is where you will know what you're made of. You will know if you're ready. How can we minister to people when we're not processed by God? Can someone say glory? Hallelujah. So the prophet is the most misunderstood ministry today. Now pay attention, we must receive honor and respect prophets in order to receive a blessing through them. As long as we continue to dishonor, reject, and disrespect prophets, we will not receive the blessing that God has through them. God has many wonderful blessings to prophets, many great revelations, many new ways of looking at things, many moves of God, many new shifts of the worship of God in the last days. God has financial strategies, business strategies, visions, and all sorts of things that God wants to give the body of Christ through his children, the prophets. However, pay attention, through his servants, the prophets. However, he will not do it if the prophet's not received, honored, and respected. To be received means to be welcome. To be honored means to give, not only compliments, but also to give gifts. I mean, many people don't understand what honor is biblical. Biblical honor comes with gifts. We call that, in today's terms, we call that offerings. In other words, money, or gift cards, or invitations, or an invitation to a dinner, whatever it is. Many people don't respect prophets. What does that mean they don't respect? They talk bad about them. They criticize them. So until we understand how to receive, until we receive honor and respect prophets, the blessings of the prophets are stagnant. Because, not even because of the devil, but because of the body of Christ. Because they just don't get it. Now, that's scary, isn't it? There's so many prophets right now who are not being heard. They don't have a platform. They're in caves. Do you know why they're stuck in caves? Because they have a stone put in front of the cave. They're stuck in there like Lazarus. And do you know why? Because people stuck them in there. Because they didn't believe in them. Are we catching on? See, the reason why people put Lazarus inside a cave, in a tomb in a cave, and they put a stone, is because people didn't believe Lazarus would be raised from the dead. They thought of him for dead. They said he's dead. There's many prophets right now who people say, no, they're dead. They don't have a ministry. They're not going to make it. Nobody wants them. They reject them. But then one day, God's going to say, remove the stone and come forth. There's Lazarus is out there. We need to testify of the power of the resurrection of Jesus. And God's going to bring them forth. And a lot of you that are listening to me tonight are going to regret not having given honor to what honor was due at the time in which God called it to be due. Are we catching on? Because there's blessings that those prophets are going to come with. And they're going to come with those blessings. And when those blessings come, you want to be there to attain the blessing. You want to be there to get that harvest. Are we catching on? So this is the last days we're talking about here. And the blessings of God are now rushing through. They're pouring out. But we have to do the right thing. We have to sow. We have to reap. We have to bless. We have to not curse. We have to honor. We have to receive people. We have to respect people. Are we catching on? Someone say glory to Jesus. Let's receive. Let's honor. Let's respect prophets in order to receive the blessing God has through them. Amen? Prophets are not out to please man, but to please God only. This creates many enemies for them. A prophet has a lot of enemies, even in the body of Christ. Why? Because they're not out to please man, but to please God. A prophet will be told what to preach, and he'll preach something completely different. Because they'll obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit and not the voice of a man. A prophet doesn't recognize the voice of a man. A prophet recognizes the voice of God. A prophet can hear a man talking, and the man could be right on a lot of the things that he's saying. But the prophet will always be checking that man to see if he's aligning with what God says. Are we catching on? The prophet does that. They're very radical that way. That's why, like I said, they create many enemies for themselves. Prophets have a supernatural anointing to change people, change churches, change cities, change nations, and even continents. Oh, my God, are we catching on? This is powerful stuff. Prophets have a supernatural anointing, the ability of God, the power of God working in them to change people. If people allow themselves to be changed and they open up and they let prophets in, a prophet can come in. And by the anointing oil that is in them, literally break the yoke of their life. A prophet has the ability, the supernatural power of God, to come into a church and take a church that is going one direction and make it turn around into a different direction. A prophet has that. God has put that in the prophet. That's the anointing of the prophet that no other ministry has. The apostolic ministry has that too. That, how we catching on here? A prophet has the ability to come into a city. And see, the Bible says that a wise man, in the book of Proverbs chapter 21, verse 22, a wise man scales the walls of the city. Another place it says, climbs over the walls of the city and brings down their trusted strongholds. A prophet is a wise man. He's able to climb over the walls of a city and bring down the strongholds. A prophet can change the city. Are we catching on? Because a prophet operates by wisdom, so they can change an entire city. One prophet can come into a city, give the right strategy, say the right prayers, decree the right things, and the city can begin to change. A prophet knows how to do prophetic acts that can bring change to a city. One time I went to a city, this is powerful stuff, with my apostle. We went there to a city, and God led us to go to the river that led from one city to the other. and we put oil in the river, a prophetic act, and we decreed that deliverance will come into the next cities. Let me tell you something that happened. A few months later, there was a revival that took off, and churches began to grow, and things began to explode in another city. It was powerful what God did in that nation because we did a prophetic act believing in God. So the prophets have strategies that God gives them for cities. Prophet has strategies for nations, for continents, to bring a revival to an entire continent. How many of you want to see the continents of North America be revived by the power of God? I want to see it. So God is raising up prophets with strategies on how to pray for this nation. You'd be surprised how different prophets all over this country and all over Canada are praying exactly the same prayers. Can someone say glory to Jesus? Hallelujah. What is another thing that prophets have? Well, prophets, they can impart mantles. They're able to send ministries. A prophet can send another prophet into a ministry. A prophet can send and anoint and lay hands on someone and impart to them and send them out to be a pastor. A prophet can send someone to be a teacher. A pastor can send someone to be an evangelist. A prophet can send someone to be an apostle. A prophet can impart a mantle upon somebody's life and bless them for the rest of their lives. Of course, it comes a point of maturity in which God allows the prophet's anointing to work that way. Otherwise, it will stick. Does that make sense? Prophets are used to usher in revival. Prophets have the strategies, the prayer strategies, to usher in a revival, to bring revivals. Can someone say amen? So, brethren, listen to what I'm trying to tell you today. We're talking about prophets, and we're talking about how to understand prophets. Now that you know a little bit about prophets and how they are, understanding that it's not their fault they're like that, but it's rather what God puts in them that forces them to be that way. Now we can receive prophets, we can receive prophecies, and we can understand what the will of God is. Can someone say glory to Jesus? Can you say it with me, glory to Jesus? Once again, can you say it with me, glory to Jesus? God is good. Prophets are able to discern certain things that other people can't discern. And you say, but why doesn't God give the discernment to other people? No, he does when they're prophetic, meaning when they're submitted under prophets, when they're under prophetic mantles, and when they come in touch with prophetic people, when they come in association with prophetic people, which is why the people that you should surround yourself with in the body of Christ should be prophetic people. Because whatever fire is left of you, if you surround yourself with people who are not fiery, as a result, your fire will quench. Someone say glory to Jesus. So you need to become like, you need to be with other people who are on fire so that you all kindle a greater fire with each other's contact. You need to come in touch with people who are on fire for God. If you're not on fire for God, come in touch with people who are on fire for God who are willing to light you up. The problem is that today we don't know what to do. We're so confused. There's so many winds of doctrines out there. We have more doctrines out there than we have people in the world. We got 7 billion people on the planet, and we probably have 8 billion doctrines in the world. Are we catching on? So this needs to stop. This disorder that is happening in the body of Christ needs to end. Can someone say glory to Jesus? So we need to stop listening to so many people. Apostle Paul one time told the church of Corinthians, he said to them, though you may have 10,000 teachers, you have but one spiritual father. And you know, and that's very important to know, because there's many teachers today, and many, many different ministries have different visions. You have to understand, one famous guy has one vision, another famous guy has another vision. One guy who's not so famous has a different vision. They all have different visions. Doesn't mean they have a different gospel or necessarily a different message. It might even be the same Holy Spirit, and they all speak in tongues by the Holy Spirit. They all prophesy by the Holy Spirit, but the vision is different. Well, so if you start listening to one person who's focusing on one vision one way, and then you listen to another person, you're going to get confused. You're going to have spiritual diarrhea. What's going to come out of your mouth is constant diarrhea. You're gonna be using someone's message, another person's message, another person's message, another person's message. Next thing you know, you're like, wait a minute. I have 1,000 ideas coming out of me. What's going on here? Which one am I? Under which vision am I? Who am I helping to build? Because everybody who comes under a vision, under a mantle, under someone's vision, has been called for a season from God, has been called to help build that vision. That's why God put that person there. So today you have to ask yourself, who am I helping to build the vision? Who am I helping to build that vision? And where is that vision headed? Where am I headed with it? You got to know. You have to know what ministry you're sowing into. What is the purpose of that ministry? Let me tell you what the purpose of this ministry is, so that it helps you understand, so that you move to make an action. If the action is sowing, or the action is praying for this ministry so that you know what to do. First of all, this is an international ministry, meaning our goal and our vision of God, from God, is for the nations. We start locally, but we're going to spread to the nations. Right now, we have ministries in Colombia. We have ministry in Mexico right now, in the border from Mexico to the United States. We have a ministry there. We have a ministry in South America, in Colombia. We have a ministry in Panama that is being birthed, and we have a ministry in the United States of America. We hopefully want to have ministry in Australia. I want to travel to Australia. It's my desire. We want to have ministries in Europe as well. But we want to grow. The only way we're going to grow is if people participate in the vision, which is why God calls people to come under a vision and for a season, for a time of their life to help build that vision until God sends them somewhere else or God uses the same mantle that they came under to send them into their own vision, their own purpose, when they're maturing up. Are we catching on what we're talking about? Someone say glory to God tonight. So we need to come in touch with prophets, brethren. We need to understand the prophetic. The prophetic is anything that's spiritual in the house of God. It's anything that's spiritual, that concentrates in the spiritual. The prophetic is able to literally see things in the natural as the cause, the primary cause. It's able to see the underlying causes of why things are happening the way they're happening. When you come in touch with prophetic people, they're able to come into your life and be like, well, the reason why that's happening is because this and this. And you're like, oh, my God, that makes perfect sense. You're only going to say that makes perfect sense when you receive prophets and when you receive prophetic people. But if you don't receive them, you're going to be in argument all the time. And that is one of the worst things that you can do to yourself, is being constant reasoning and arguing, because you will never receive the blessing of God through a prophet if you're in constant arguments. And argument and reasoning are the daughters of philosophy. Are we catching on? You don't want that in your life. So, brethren, I love you very much. I hope you learned something. Please go back and listen to this message again. Share it on your Facebook. Share it with your friends. Go back and listen to last week's message. Listen to the prophetic voice, the word of God that was released in prophecy last week for this season. God spoke to me last Saturday morning. Not last Saturday morning. Two Saturdays ago in the morning. And he said to me, this fall is the season for your turnaround. I want you to grab onto the word and know that word is for you. I didn't keep that word to myself. That word is for you. Your job is to water that word. That word is a seed, but it needs to be watered so that God can give the growth. The Bible says that some sow, some plant, some water, and but God gives the growth. So your job is going to be to water that seed. That seed is the word, and the word is this season, the fall season, is your turnaround season. God wants to turn things around for you. If you are failing in your marriage, this is the season to fix your marriage. If you are failing in your finances, this is the season to begin to have your own business, to begin to prosper and to flourish in your business. If your job you weren't doing well and if they have cut your hours, this is the season in which God will either take you to a better place or promote you within that company, and God will set up a table before you in the presence of your enemies, everyone who spoke evil of you. Can someone give glory to God? I want to tell you very quickly that there's such thing as the power of resurrection. And one of the jobs of the power of resurrection is to restore. It's restoration. When Lazarus was dead, Mary and Martha and all the Jewish people around them comforted them. They all thought everything was lost, so much so they put him in a tomb. They put him in a cave, and they put a stone in front of it. They locked it away. And, you know, there's spiritual meanings to all these things. But when Jesus came forth, he said to them, did I not tell you my word that if you believe you will see the glory of God? The original word that he told them in chapter 11 of the book of John was, he told them, this is not unto death, but that the Son of God may be glorified through it. This is not unto death. Can you say this is not unto death? But they didn't understand that word. They thought, Jesus, man, I'm going to come and heal him. Some of us, we have faith for things not to happen to us. We have faith for us not to lose our job. We have faith not to lose our business. We have faith not to lose our property or our house. But very few of us have the faith that God wants to take us into, which is the faith of restoration. The one where we lose things and we're being molded in that season to trust in God again, to get close to God again, to be pulled into God again. And then God comes in and says, remove the stone. The stone is your opposition. The stone is your mountain. The stone is your strongman. It is the underlying cause that has not allowed your blessing to be seen. Then Jesus said, there's three commandments Jesus told the people. when he came in front of the tomb. He said, remove the stone. The second commandment was, Lazarus, come forth. It's time for you to start calling your blessing by name, your business by name, and tell it to come forth. If it's your business, say, so-and-so business, come forth by the power of restoration, by the power of resurrection. It is time for you to start telling whatever stone of opposition that is holding your finances dead and stagnant and stale and stinky, that is holding your marriage stagnant, stale, and stinky. It's time for you to tell that opposition and say, you need to recognize the underlying cause. You need to recognize which demon it is, which strongman it is, and tell them, strongman of whatever I command you right now to let go of my marriage, let go of my finances, let go of my blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. It is that time. So you're going to do that. Can someone say glory to God? So Jesus did three things. He spoke three different commands to the people. He said, remove the stone. Then he said, come forth, Lazarus. And then finally, when Lazarus came forth, he wasn't ready to be seen yet. Sometimes your blessing has already come forth, but it's not yet ready to be seen. He told them, loose him from the souls that he had him. So he had to be loosed. And someone say glory to God. Hallelujah. Loose him and let him go. In other words, he had he had all the bandage around him, and the bandage that was around him was stinky. They had to get rid of it and give him new clothes. Sometimes your business, your marriage, the answer is right there, but it needs to be loose in order for it to materialize, in order to become a testimony. Later on, we see that Lazarus became a testimony. Can you say glory to God? Oh, glory to Jesus. God is good. Can someone say amen? So I need you to understand that the prophetic can see things in the Bible. A prophetic person can see things in the scripture that other people can't. This is why you must surround yourself with prophetic people. You must allow prophetic to lay hands on you that you may receive what they have. And then you must cultivate whatever God gives you through whatever encounter you have with God. Can someone say glory to God? I love you all very much. I know you've been blessed. I know I've been blessed. I know you've learned. I know I've learned. So I want you to go tonight and write to us, testify to us of what God has been doing in your life through this ministry. You can do so through slwchurch@gmail.com. Did you know that when you testify of what God has done through a prophetic ministry, you're now receiving, honoring, and respecting that prophet? And as a result, you're blessing God. Can someone say amen? The Bible says, I shall bless the Lord at all times. So bless the Lord. And another thing that you can do is become a partner of this ministry, a financial part of this ministry. If this ministry blesses you, commit yourself to give an offering, let's say once a month, just as an example, or once a week, once every 2 weeks, whatever you can do. But commit yourself to do that. The reason why I say that is because when you do that, you're coming in contact with the prophetic, and as a result, you begin to receive of the prophetic because you're sowing into the prophetic. And if you sow into the prophetic, then the prophetic, guess what? The prophetic is going to give you a harvest. Can you say glory to God? So God is in the midst of all this. So I want you to go ahead and sow that seed when you want, when you desire, when God puts it in you. The Bible says that it's God who works in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. The Word of God says that generosity comes from within. But the Word of God says also, he who sows sparingly, sparingly shall he reap. He who sows bountifully, bountifully shall he reap. So this is going to be up to you. But you can do so through PayPal.com, and you can use the email ID slwchurch@gmail.com. That is slwchurch@gmail.com, and you can do so through PayPal.com. Brethren, I love you very much. Thank you so much. I want you to share this message. It is extremely important. I know God's going to bless you, and I know that God's going to use this message to bring a lot of people out of confusion because we understand now how prophecy works. We understand how prophets work. We understand what the gift of prophecy is for, and therefore, because of this, now we can now receive the prophetic better, and as a result, we can manifest the prophetic better. God has called everyone to be prophetic in the last days. Pastor, what does it mean to be prophetic? To be prophetic means to be under prophetic anointing. Have a mantle of the prophet on top of you. You've been sent by prophets, by apostles, by people who are prophetic. God has called everyone to be prophetic. Can someone say glory to God? I love you all very much, brethren. I bless you in the name of Jesus. And don't forget that Jesus is coming soon. We all have to be ready. Make sure you have your lamp filled with oil and do not be found unprepared by the Lord. Can someone say amen? I love you, brother, and thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for receiving me. And I will see you next Friday night with the help of the Lord at 9 p.m. East Coast time. Please pray for me. Please bless me in your prayers. Amen. I need prayers too. Okay, I'm willing to pray for you, but please pray for me as well. I love you all very much. I thank God for every one of you. And I declare no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And that you, that this open doors, that this favor of God upon your life, I declare right now in the name of Jesus that if an enemy has come against you one way, it's right now cast out seven ways in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I declare that every curse upon your life is canceled. And I break the power of hell that has risen up against you. And I declare right now and I prophesy over every one of you listening that salvation shall come to your house. That the Lord shall visit you and shall save your family in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I prophesy that the blessing of God will be delayed no longer, but that it will come in the season of the fall. Whether it be a car that you need, whether it be a house that you need, whether it be a job that you need, whether it be a business, whether it be a spouse that you're looking for, that you're ready to have, in the name of Jesus, I prophesy shall come. And it shall, and the blessing of God shall visit your life. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, and I praise God, Father, thank you so much for everything you've done. I bless your holy name. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Times of Refreshing Nights. Torn, I love you all very much. Shalom.